By the fast blasts, many of you are very, very interested in this situation. As we talk about hypothyroidism type 2 with Dr. Mark Starr, I'm going to ask Mark about his book when we come back. There's a reason some people want to know if this is the latest edition that you can get on Amazon.com. I'm pretty sure it is, but we'll find out from him. And we'll be right back with much more on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Starr, a couple people have emailed me. They're already picking up your book on Amazon, for example. They want to know if that's the latest edition. Some say it's just 2005. I think it's up to 2009 now, isn't it?
We just finished it last week, and it is the latest edition. It's the fourth print, and Amazon has the latest edition in stock as of yesterday, I believe.
All right, very good. Now, let's talk about some of the causes of hypothyroidism. What's out there?
Well, as far as environmental, because one of the number one causes is fluoride.
Oh, gosh.
And there was a research study in 1996. A scientist named Mahmood, M-A-H-M-O-O-D, studied the effects of low doses of sodium fluoride on the thyroid glands of guinea pigs. And it basically destroyed their thyroid gland in the dosage that's in the water. So I say in my book that it may be the number one environmental cause of low thyroid. And I was very interested to see, I just happened to pick up a newspaper and saw that last November, cities around the country are still voting to get rid of fluoride in their water or voting to put fluoride in their water. And there were an equal number of cities voting to put it in and take it out.
They don't know. Some of the cities that are putting it in just don't understand. And you've got to applaud those that are taking it out.
That's correct. There's some great websites. There's one, Fluoride, F-L-U-O-R-I-D-E, fluoridealert.org is an excellent one. There's S-L-W-E-B.org is another. So people can educate themselves on the dangers of fluoride. One of my good friends is Jerry Tennant. He's a medical doctor who did most of the research on the physics computer for LASIK surgery, did his eye surgery residency at Mass General.
Mm-hmm.
He has done a lot of research on fluoride and its effect on the thyroid. And it's amazing because they're called halides. Iodine is an extremely important part of thyroid function. The thyroid molecule that the thyroid gland makes, the actual hormone, consists of tyrosine, which is an amino acid, and four iodine molecules. Well, in the periodic chart, the chemical chart, there's a group of chemicals in the same column called halides, and they include fluorine, which is at the top of the chart. Chlorine and bromine are right below that, and iodine is below all three. So the molecules at the top of the chemical chart, the periodic chart, are more apt, they have a higher affinity for the same receptors in that column. So fluoride, chlorine, and bromine all have a higher affinity to the thyroid molecule than does iodine.
Jeez. Now, let me ask you about the fluorine and the fluoride. It's almost in every toothpaste. So do you recommend people start looking for toothpaste without it in there?
You bet. Yeah, I recommend non-fluoridated toothpaste. Baking soda is a great thing to brush your teeth with. That's the cheapest one. That works quite well.
Yep.
And you can buy all sorts of toothpaste, homeopathic types, but I recommend baking soda.
What?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I've finished.
Well, why do they say this? It's good for your teeth, or it's good for your teeth. It prevents cavities.
Well, that's a long story, but the research shows that it really Americans don't have any more or less cavities, than Europeans who have the fluoride, have no fluoride in their water or their toothpaste and so on. There's a great book called The Fluoride Deception, and that's on one of those websites that I gave, The Fluoride Deception, and has a long story about how the fluoride came about, and it's not a pretty story, I'm afraid. But so you can have that. Dr. Tennant, and I concur with his research. His research, his website, by the way, is Tennant, T-E-N-N-A-N-T, institute.com. And he has a lot of research showing that he thinks One of the reasons the blood tests don't show type 2 hypothyroidism is because you have fake thyroid. You have fluoride and iodine, or rather chlorine and bromine on the iodine, the tyrosine molecule that's basically, you know, so the thyroid hormone is actually contains fluoride instead of iodine.
It skirts the test, I guess.
Huh? And the test can't tell the difference between the
Interesting.
Two.
Okay, so environmentally, fluorine, that's one, fluoride. What's next?
Well, mercury certainly is a booger.
Yeah, that's bad.
And that was one of my main problems, and it's a difficult problem because a lot of people can't afford to get it out of their mouth and to detoxify. Plastics, the stuff that makes plastic flexible, are called phthalates.
Plastics? What about bottled water? We drink the bottle right out of these little plastic jugs.
Yeah, well, that's one of the main contributors to type 2 hypothyroidism
as
well.
You're kidding.
No, insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, dioxins, PCBs, just about everything that's in everybody blocks thyroid function.
Okay, sorry. Let's assume then that we're getting bombarded with things that'll hurt your thyroid. Aside from eliminating all of it, which we can't do, it's not practical, what do we do? I mean, do you take kelp? What do we do?
Well, I recommend iodine. And you have to use relatively large dosages. There are a couple of books. One's Breast Cancer and Iodine by Dr. David Derry, D-E-R-R-Y. Another one is Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It, by David Brownstein, D-R Brownstein, B-R-O-W-N-S-T-E-I-N.com is his website. So those are really good books on iodine. I have a lot of information in my book because if you use large enough dosages of iodine, then you can displace the fluoride and the bromine and the chlorine over a period of time.
I see.
And you have to start very slowly, and I have a lot of that information in my book, not as much as there are in those other books I recommended.
Now, do you have to be careful with iodine if you have heart problems?
You have to be careful with iodine no matter what, because when you start displacing those toxins, you can become sick.
So how do you know how much to ingest?
Well, you start very slowly. And that information is in my book and those other books I recommended as well. And my latest print of my book actually has numbers for children. 170 micrograms per kilogram is the maximum dose I think children should take.
Can you get iodine out of good sea salt? Not the other stuff, but the good sea salt?
Well, the good sea salt typically does not contain iodine unless it's iodized sea salt.
Okay.
And so people who are eating the unrefined sea salt, which, of course, there used to be whole civilizations and wars for salt because the people of ancient times knew that's what they needed to stay healthy. And there are 50, 60, 70 trace minerals that are necessary for our health in the old-fashioned sea salt. And the table salt, Morton's iodized table salt, is actually bad for you and doesn't contain the right form or amount of iodine. It's contaminated with aluminum, and so I recommend sea salt to all my patients for their trace minerals, but they must supplement with additional iodine, and the iodized sea salt doesn't have enough iodine, in my opinion.
Okay, I didn't know that. What about kelp? Is there iodine in kelp?
There is, but there's not enough to perform the functions to displace all that bromine and fluorine and chlorine, and I also recommend shower filters for everyone. Because so much of the water is chlorinated, and we take a hot shower, it goes right through your skin.
Right in your skin.
Yeah. And so we need to minimize our exposure, so no toothpaste and shower filters and so on. Plus, we need a fairly large dose many times what the RDA is for iodine.
What about a romp every once in a while in the old hot tub that's chlorinated? Is that going to hurt you?
Well, I used to swim every day. Until I found out how toxic I was and what was in the water, because it's city water that I was swimming in, plus they threw a bunch of chlorine in there. So my goal in life is to have a nice filtered lap pool with pretty much free of toxins.
Okay.
So I stopped swimming. I still run and lift weights and so on and hike, but I don't swim in public pools anymore because I was sick. I was sick for quite a long time, and I'm thankfully healthy now, thanks to lots of different wonderful doctors.
You had mentioned desiccated thyroid. What is that?
That is a glandular thyroid made from pigs' thyroid glands. Pigs' thyroid glands are quite similar to humans.
Is it a pill, or what do you do with
it? It is a tablet. It's just like dried fruit, basically. It's a dried thyroid gland.
What does it smell like?
It smells like a pig.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's the Armour thyroid, at least it was bleached. I came out with a new Armour pill that had been unavailable for quite some time, and there was a big brouhaha about maybe the FDA was trying to get rid of the Armour thyroid, and people had a difficult time getting desiccated thyroid for almost 6 to 10 months. It's back on the market now.
Is there some quality control here? Because, you know, you really need to be careful that with all these supplements, and I take a lot of them, Mark, you really need to be careful where you get them, don't you?
Oh, yes. And over-the-counter things have most of the most important thyroid hormones removed, so you really do need to have a good doctor. The only problem, it's hard to find good doctors. But back in the early 1900s, they figured out that both pigs, sheep, and cows, the bovine thyroid glands, would ameliorate or cure hypothyroidism.
Interesting.
So they used all three for quite some time, but they settled Armour thyroid. The pig thyroid was universal, and it was easy to come by.
So. Do you need a prescription for all this?
You do need a prescription for the desiccated thyroid, just like the synthetic thyroid.
Okay.
I have a study in my book. There's been four generations of one European family that have all been endocrinologists. And the senior was Eugene Hertog, and I have his before and after treatment pictures from 1915 in my book. And his grandson was Jacques Hertog, and he died in the 1990s. But he did a study that lasted up until his death in Belgium, and they would switch patients from the synthetic thyroid that came into their clinic to the desiccated thyroid, and they reduced the major symptoms of low thyroid by almost 70%. So the old-fashioned thyroid has proven itself to be more effective than the desiccated thyroid. Fatigue went, a group of these patients that were on the synthetic thyroid came in, and they followed them for almost 2 years, and their symptoms, for instance, constipation, headaches, muscle cramps, depression, joint muscle pain, cold intolerance, fatigue, were reduced by 70% just by switching to the synthetic thyroid.
That's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, and I see the same things. And I lectured over in Sweden to the Swedish endocrinologist in September.
All right, let's have you explain the basal thermometer test.
Okay.
People can do this at home, right?
Yes.
All right, explain it.
Okay, so basal means resting. And the basal metabolism is resting, so you have to have a good night's sleep. You aren't supposed to eat or have any activity during the night to speak of, and you're supposed to take the temperature under your armpit the first thing when you wake up in the morning. So you put the thermometer next to your bed. And anyone that still has an old mercury thermometer, I tell them to shake it down over the bed, because they break those things most of the time in the bathroom or somewhere where they're shaking them down and it flies out of their hand. And the amount of mercury in a mercury thermometer, which is about equal to the amount of mercury in a great big amalgam filling, can poison a 5-acre lake. So you do not want to break a mercury thermometer. So make sure you shake them down over your bed and be careful. And so you put the thermometer under your armpit when you wake up in the morning. And the normal temperature should be 97.8 to 98.2 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's equivalent to 36.6 to 36.8 Celsius. And women have to do that who are menstruating during their menstrual cycle, days 2, 3, and 4 of the menstrual cycle. I treat a lot of children, and the children, I ask mom or dad to take their temperature while they're still asleep, or maybe right when they wake up, because a lot of them don't like the test. You can do it in little babies rectally, and the temperature is slightly higher, rectal temperature, 0.8 to 1 degree higher. So it's a very simple test. You do it for a couple of days, and you can typically have your answer.
Hmm. All right.
And, unfortunately, the mainstream doctors tell you it's not valid. And they don't have any references to prove it's not valid, but that's dogma.
Okay, let's assume you do the test and you realize, you know what, I got a hypothyroidism. What do you do? What do you do with that information?
Well, you start looking for a good doctor. There aren't that many around because the state medical boards frown upon using thyroid like they used to for over half a century. It's not the standard of care. The standard of care for over 40 years now are treating blood tests with synthetic thyroid.
So that's what some doctors would probably prescribe for you.
Synthetic. 99% of the doctors are taught to prescribe the synthetic thyroid and treat the blood tests. And for instance, in that Belgium study, the average dosage of desiccated thyroid was 3 to 4 times what the average dosage is being prescribed these days. In Dr. Derry's book, Breast Cancer and Iodine, he talks about how the dosages that were used to treat hypothyroidism were decreased by over 2/3 in the 1970s. He has the references for that, just based on some 12 and 18-week studies. And it's just a total disaster. I'm sorry. So I would start taking some iodine in very low dosages and increase very slowly so you don't get too sick. Patients with Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune thyroid problem that doctors are taught that that's the number one cause of hypothyroidism because typically the body's trying to destroy its own thyroid gland and the thyroid gland eventually fails. But all of those people often do not tolerate iodine very well, so you have to be quite careful with iodine if you have Hashimoto's. If you can't find a good doctor, then you can certainly benefit from some over-the-counter bovine thyroid. But as I said, a lot of the most important thyroid, there's four types of thyroid hormones. One has 4 iodine molecules. The more active one has 3 iodine molecules. They're called T4, T3. T2 has 2 iodine molecules, and T1 has 1 iodine molecule.
And when you say over-the-counter, are you saying non-prescription?
That's correct.
Okay.
And so by law, the FDA mandates that the over-the-counter stuff has all the T4 and T3, which are the two most active thyroid hormones, are supposed to be removed from the over-the-counter stuff. So it has a limited efficacy, but it's certainly a lot better than nothing.
Right. Okay.
So iodine and over-the-counter thyroid and selenium is important in the usage of thyroid. Magnesium is important. Zinc is important. And your adrenal glands have to be functioning relatively well in order to tolerate thyroid. I have 2 chapters in my book about why patients don't tolerate thyroid, because the more and more patients that I see are not able to tolerate thyroid when they first come. You have to give them iodine first, you have to help detoxify their bodies, and you have to start with very low dosages of thyroid. And typically they have to wait 2 or 4 weeks now before they can even start the thyroid.
Sure. Okay.
Because their adrenal glands are terribly weak. And Dr. Barnes did a lot of research showing that a little bit of adrenal steroid, like prednisone or cortisol, would allow the patients to tolerate thyroid. I've been very fortunate, and I figured out that it's infections in the mouth and the iodine deficiency and all the toxic halides, the fluorine, chlorine, and bromine, cause adrenal deficiency. And if the patients can afford it, if we get their mouth fixed.
Well, I've got to tell you, you've just done a remarkable service for people, Dr. Mark Starr. We'll be back in a moment with you, and Dr. John Apsley joins us. Then the next hour, Dr. Mark Starr will take your phone calls. The last hour of the program, Joshua P. Warren joins us with his paranormal moment. Okay, we're going to take your phone calls next hour with Dr. Mark Starr as we talk about hypothyroidism. When we come back, Dr. John Apsley joins us as well. We'll continue the dialogue on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Dr. John Apsley now joining us. He was just on with me about a month ago as we talk about the regeneration effect, cellular regeneration, and here he is. Hey, John, welcome back.
Well, thank you, George. It's a great pleasure.
One, I want to thank you for introducing Mark Starr to this program.
Oh, my pleasure.
The way you have. And tell me, when you were doing your work, especially concentrating on cancer, what did you see about Mark Starr's work that got you to get interested in this?
Well, you know, this goes back, it's a great question. It goes back almost 30 years. The guy who started me in this whole line of thinking specialized in constitutional medicine, and his big thing was thyroid. He was an osteopath, and he understood that the weaknesses in our genes could be passed down through our mothers. And so when I read Mark Starr's work, I got so excited, I got chills, because he nailed it. He nailed it with solid documentation that I had never been able to put together, so I owe him a great debt. And it's the only truly essential hormone. I mean, there are others you have to have too, but in terms of life and death, you know, within minutes, within hours, you're dead if you don't have any thyroid hormone. It's the master hormone. And here's the problem. Here's what all of your listeners should understand. The common prescription for low thyroid conditions is what's called T4. It's a synthetic that's inactive in the body. It has to be converted to T3. Well, you have to have T3 to convert it, T4 into T3 to begin with. But T4 appears from all studies that I've seen to turn off the body's reason for trying to make its own thyroid hormone. So not only does the drug not work like the bioactive form of T3, but it gives blood work signals to physicians who are monitoring their patient's blood that indicates that the patient has enough thyroid hormone in their body when it's not active. So it's just a real catch-22.
All right.
So, yeah.
Let's bring Mark in with us again here. Mark, here's Dr. John.
Hi, Dr. John.
How do you do, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for all your help.
Well, no, it's I'm grateful to you. So.
Well, it's great support there on both of you for doing this. You know, I've always said if we can just help one person, that makes the entire program worthwhile. And I think you're doing much more than that, both of what you've done, John, and what you're doing, Mark, as well. What do the other, Mark, what do the other medical experts say about theories like yours, work that you've done? I mean, do they jump up and down and say, right on, or do they run away from you?
No. The standard of care is what keeps them in business. And if you vary from the standard of care, which is synthetic thyroid and treating a TSH, basically. The TSH is the thyroid stimulating hormone that the doctors have been taught for over 40 years to use to diagnose the problem. For instance, in the United States, the number that qualifies you for being hypothyroid is anything above 4.0. Well, guess what? In Sweden, it was 3.0, and after I went over there and did a lecture, they decreased it to 2.5. And in Great Britain, the TSH, the magic number to diagnose low thyroid, is 10. So you have to be above 10 in Great Britain. They raised the TSH in 2006 by proclamation. And there is no science to back this stuff up. It's really remarkable how they came about this in the first place. It's just mind-boggling. But I'm afraid the doctors have been duped for over 40 years into believing this stuff. And there's no, for instance, the thyroid controls the metabolism, the basal metabolism. And I presented research of Dr. Sonkin, my teacher, as well as my research, that showed that patients' metabolism could be as much as 48% below normal and still have a normal TSH. And they said they didn't think so when I presented my research, but they have no research to prove otherwise. So for 40 years, they've been assuming this thing works when it really doesn't.
I found it fascinating how just recently they're saying now, well, maybe we don't need these prostate exams for men the way we're doing it or this often. It's kind of scary when they backtrack after a while, isn't it?
Well, it's scary. There's no doubt about that. But there are absolutely no long-term clinical studies that show that the T4 that they're using is effective in treating patients. It's effective in manipulating blood tests, which is what they've been doing for 40 years. As far as the treatment of the patients goes, that's been out the window since the textbook I referred to that I have all the pictures in my book, 1957.
There's an affliction out there called Morgellons that nobody really seems to understand. Could this be part of a thyroid problem?
Well, the thyroid controls the immune system. And when your immune system diminishes, you're susceptible to all sorts of organisms. And I'm sure Dr. John would be very interested in my friend Jerry Tennant's research because he has a book called Healing is Voltage. And that's a whole other subject, but the body operates at minus 20, minus 25 millivolts, which is what they taught us in medical school. The cells depolarize at minus 22 millivolts, and all the oxygen saturation, the enzyme reactions in the body, all the cellular channels, or pH, and voltage dependent. Nobody ever taught me that voltage and pH, you know, we're supposed to be slightly alkaline in order to be healthy. And when we're slightly alkaline, we have a normal voltage, the bugs can't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to increase the voltage up to minus 50 millivolts in order to heal things. And so many patients can't even increase their voltage that much. All the voltage is stored in good fat, so you need 20% of your diet has to be good fat. And the voltage, when the voltage starts to drop is when you get sick, because the body makes something called ATP as our energy currency, and you make 38 molecules of ATP per trip through something called the Krebs cycle if you have enough oxygen and voltage. And if you do not, when your voltage drops and the oxygen saturation drops, the bugs move in, you become anaerobic. It's not enough. Anaerobic means no oxygen. Aerobic means oxygen. And you switch to anaerobic metabolism if your pH and your voltage drop. And you only make 2 molecules of ATP. So instead of running on 38 miles a gallon, you run on 2 miles per gallon. And all the bugs move in, including Morgellons, bugs, yeast. There's a book called Cancer is a Fungus out there. Dr. Tullio Simoncini wrote. But Dr. Tennant's research is quite profound, and I checked the voltage on every one of my patients, and not only that, but he discovered, he didn't know about thyroid, and I didn't know about voltage. He discovered in short order, once he read my book, that the number one cause of low voltage is low thyroid.
John, how difficult is it for people just to monitor their own physical situation and try to fix it?
That's a great question. I'm going to be giving a speech at a keynote lecture at Health Freedom Expo in Chicago in June. And what we're going to talk about is exactly what Mark is talking about now, that what's actually happened, and this is how people can monitor themselves at home, is that back in the 1930s, there was no adequate way to test for low thyroid except through a basal metabolic chamber, which was a 6-hour test. Well, Broda Barnes, MD, PhD, that Mark, I'm sure, has referred to, was the first to show conclusively that the underarm temperature, which is real simple, or anyone can do it, is just as accurate as the 6-hour metabolic chamber was. Well, in the 50s, they decided to take a group of maybe 10 or 12,000 college kids, most of which were low thyroid, and just pronounce that they were healthy because they were 20 years old, and they took all their blood and started figuring out what the blood parameters should be. Well, doctors who were taught, were all taught to view the patient through an exam and through the clinical findings as the primary. Then you do blood workup and other diagnostics to confirm or rule out what you see in your clinical impressions. Well, it's become backwards. Now we rely upon blood work, which is inaccurate, because if you were to take a simple study, and with what Mark was saying, just take the temperatures under the arm at the basal point first thing in the morning when you wake up, and you'd see that all these people taking synthetic T4 had low body temperatures.
Yeah, yeah. It's right there for everybody
to see.
It's right
there. That's right, George. Yeah.
That is truly amazing.
Great question.
Now, the work that you were saying, Mark, really don't have any studies going on here. Why not? It would seem so simple to study this.
Well, I hate to point fingers, but the number one moneymaker for thyroid companies are cholesterol-lowering drugs. And as I said earlier...
the statins, right?
The statins. And that's high cholesterol for half a century meant you were low thyroid. You can also have high cholesterol if you eat a bunch of quick food, because the liver is mostly fat. And if the liver is not functioning, then it can't process the cholesterol properly. But the number one cause is low thyroid. And so the number two moneymaker after statins are synthetic thyroid hormones. So it seems as if the number one and number two moneymakers in the pharmaceutical industry are exactly what thyroid treats. And then you throw in all the antidepressants and all the drugs for pain, joint and muscle pain. And as I say in my book, most pharmaceutical drugs would not be necessary if they just used thyroid and iodine properly. So I don't know, I can't explain any other reason why all the good research in my book has not been presented in any medical school or formal medical training program other than follow the money.
Now, I think that the same goes true for antibiotics as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, Mark, that it's difficult to find a doctor who wants to prescribe the type of thyroid that people need. What do they do? How do they find this person?
Well, I have lots of websites in my book.
Ah.
There are some doctors I would highly recommend, but they're few and far between, scattered around the country, that are they're great doctors. And some of them have had problems with their medical boards because that's one reason I'm in Arizona. I have a homeopathic medical license, and I'm not under the auspices of the Federation of State Medical Boards. So it's difficult to find good doctors. The Broda Barnes Foundation has a list of doctors. AboutThyroid.com is a great website. Mary Shulman's website, so it's AboutThyroid.com. They have patients reporting on which doctors are able to help the most. There's another website I have in my book called StopTheThyroidMadness.com. They also recommend doctors on that website. I have homeopathic physician websites and other groups of doctors that are integrated medicine doctors, many of whom know how to use thyroid. So I have a number of different references in the latest print of my book that people can search out.
Good for you. I think it's so important. John, this is probably one of the most important programs that we've done with you and with Dr. Mark Starr over the past month, both of you. I think it's just critical, don't you?
I do. I really do. I'm so excited you have him on.
I'm excited to be on.
Well, my producer, Lisa, just jumped at this. It was funny because, John, right after I got off the air with you, I ordered for myself on Amazon Mark Starr's book, and I got it in about 4 days. And then, sure enough, in rolls another one with my producer saying, I assume you wanted us to do this show, and there it was again. So that copy has been stolen from me already. But
yeah, what's going on with that, Mark? They ran out at Amazon. Are you printing up another set or what?
Yes, we just printed another 20,000.
Oh, great.
And there's more information. I have an epilogue with all of my results for the last 16 years.
Oh, that's great. What I want to point out to everyone is that there are a lot of great thyroid books out there. But Mark's is outstanding in the sense that he's the first to document solidly that the weaknesses that we acquire as we live are transferred down to the children. Now, this opens up the very, very, well, assuredly it opens up the door. Why not other endocrine organs? Why not that weaknesses that pass down just for the thyroid? Why wouldn't it be also for the liver or for the heart or for the kidneys? Now, that's called constitutional degeneration or race extinction. And I think at the top of this whole thing, to reverse it, you need bioidentical hormone therapy, which is a desiccated thyroid hormone. By the way, for all of your people out there, there's a rumor going around, and it's not quite completely true, but it's not entirely false either, that there is no longer available desiccated thyroid. That's not true. It's just a little slow right now. All the supplies are due to come back in pretty soon. So keep your pharmacy, if you have a prescription, keep them on it because it will come back sooner than later.
Now, again, though, you said prescription, and that's a problem for a lot of people if they can't find the right doctor.
Right. Well, we're taking care of that. I'm tied into a major educational effort right now. And in fact, at some point I wanted to talk with Mark about joining us because we need instructors to teach physicians out there on how to actually, diagnose properly and treat properly with thyroid. And we have access to around 10,000 of these people out there that have licenses that can prescribe. And they are in a protected situation. So help is coming, everyone. Help is coming.
Yes, and the desiccated thyroid has been available through all this time from compounding pharmacies. They've been able to get the raw material and make whatever dosage the patients need. Women's International Pharmacies have been selling tens of thousands, and most of the compounding pharmacies are able to make the thyroid, although I called a compounding pharmacy to call in a prescription, and they now have the armor back in, so they aren't able to compound it. It's against the law if they have it available. So anyway, there has been desiccated thyroid available, and it is coming back.
Okay, well, that's dramatic in itself. I think it's so important. that we do that. Now, is there any downside to any of this, Mark Starr?
Well, the downside is...
Like you said, don't take too much iodine. You know.
Yeah, the patients seem to be getting more and more ill, and I say that in the latest print of my book.
What patients?
All the patients I see, they are much less tolerant of the thyroid. They get palpitations and increased heart rate and have a more difficult time.
About the synthetic thyroid?
Well, I have to use that in some of the Hashimoto's patients. Oftentimes,
right.
The Hashimoto's autoimmune patients don't tolerate the desiccated thyroid, so I use the T4 and T3.
Okay.
But I prefer all the long-term studies showing the efficacy of thyroid or on desiccated. There are no long-term studies showing effectiveness of the synthetic thyroid. And so you have to be careful because you can develop rapid heart rates and irregular heart rates like atrial fibrillation.
Oh, you don't want that.
But no. let me just say this, that because this is probably new information to some of the people listening. The receptor sites in the body, if there's not enough thyroid, there's a whole bunch more than should be. So when you first start taking thyroid hormone the proper way, those extra receptor sites need time to get out of the way and downregulate, it's called, where they disappear. So if you have initial symptoms of palpitations or whatever, you just lower the dose down to tolerance and then slowly begin to build back up again according to your symptoms and also your underarm temperature. That way you and your doctor can figure out the right prescription for you, the right dosage level, and get past that initial experience of what we call an untoward effect. Also, by the time that someone gets really low in thyroid, there's two other things that have occurred. Number one, they're low in potassium, which keeps the heart beating regularly. So adding in a good potassium supplement can really help. And number two, the adrenals are burned out. So those folks that don't tolerate thyroid medication should also take like a glandular extract of adrenal. You can buy that at any health food store. And that can also help work through this process of getting you onto the desiccated thyroid.
All right, very good. And John, we're going to lose you here in about 40 seconds. Give me a quick 30-second wrap-up, Dr. John Apsley.
Well, this is all great work. I finally got my website up, drapsley.com, which covers these constitutional issues that Mark has focused in on with the thyroid. And again, I'll be doing a follow-up with both ebooks and also at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago in June. So I hope everyone can track me there.
Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate everything you do. Dr. John Apsley, his website, drapsley.com. Now, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll take your phone calls. Now, I know you've been waiting for the last 2 hours to do this with Dr. Mark Starr, author of Hypothyroidism Type 2. We'll take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com.